grateful to Brian for the invitation to be the storyteller this morning. He's been very generous because he gives me a wonderful part of the story to tell. Have you ever had the experience of waking up in the morning after a good night's sleep, and as your eyes are starting to focus and your brain is starting to come to consciousness, you have the feeling it's gonna be a good day? You can't explain it. You just have this gut-level instinct that says it's going to be an extraordinary day. So you hop out of the bed with a spring in your step, and you can even smile at yourself in the mirror, and you eat your Cheerios with gusto, and when you're all dressed and buffed and coiffed, you swing the door wide open, and you look at the sun, and you say, I'm ready for it. You look at the sun, and you say, it's going to be a great day. So maybe we can acknowledge your day and your life can turn on a dime. But there's no reason to live in fear. Because if we are diligent and disciplined in God's Word, He promises us that whatever comes our way, we'll be able to handle. That there's no obstacle that will come in our path. No mountain that will present itself in front of us. No threat that will come rolling toward us. But that God can provide an escape. And with that assurance, we can put yesterday behind us, we can stand squarely on today, and we can look tomorrow dead in the eye without fear, because, after all, tomorrow is another day. Are you getting the idea? Life, however we choose to live it, whatever our story is, has a soundtrack which accompanies our individual stories. It does what a good movie soundtrack will do. It reflects the story. It draws you in. It helps to illustrate characters and bridges the different episodes and scenes and events in the story. A soundtrack can become iconic and can elicit immediate responses of emotion, energy, sometimes action, and our imaginations go into high gear, throwing pictures up on our mental screens. It's a truth for all of us. A good soundtrack will trigger a response. When our children were preschoolers, most of you know Cole. Cole has an older sister named Katie. When they were preschoolers, Katie was 5 and Cole was 3, if you can imagine that. The custom at our dinner table was to take turns, both a privilege and a responsibility, to offer a blessing for the meal and to ask God to bless our food. On this particular night, it was Katie's turn. And so we sat at the table and we held hands as we always did. And without any kind of introduction or explanation, Katie chose a musical prayer which she had learned at preschool and which was now part of her soundtrack. God our Father, once again, we would like to thank you, we would like to thank you for our food. Well, that triggered a response in Cole. He was apparently too young to connect into the idea that we're thanking God for our food and we're asking God to bless our food. He thought maybe we were just singing songs that made us feel good. But a response was triggered by Katie's song. So as she finished without missing a beat, for our food, stop in the name of love before you. You see, when Katie and Cole wrote in Dad's car, the soundtrack that most often was playing was Motown. And Cole apparently bought into Motown, so he thought we were just singing songs that made us all feel good. A good soundtrack will trigger a response. So now you may be thinking, yes, okay, in our culture we have soundtracks playing everywhere. That's why we have the phrase elevator music. But the God story, that's an ancient story, told for millenniums, as old as the world itself. You might even be thinking, not only does the God story not have a soundtrack, but it doesn't need one. Au contraire, mon frère. God's story and God's work has a beautiful and a powerful soundtrack, and it's not a solo. It's a symphony. It's the morning stars singing at the creation of the world, 38th chapter of Job. It's the heavens telling the glory of God, Psalm 19. It's pastures, hills, meadows, and valleys singing and shouting together for joy, Psalm 65. In fact, the Psalms repeatedly insist on creation's ability to sing and shout. And we are invited to join. Furthermore, the Psalms suggest that the reason creation was given a voice was to draw us in to the song. And Christ tells us bluntly, when the Pharisees tried to silence the crowd that was celebrating Christ on that first Palm Sunday, he answered them, saying, I tell you the truth, if they were silent, the very rocks would cry out. So we know who performs the God Story soundtrack. But who is the composer? What is the source of the soundtrack? Now, of course, you're going to answer like that little boy in Sunday school who answered every question asked him with Jesus. Because we all know that's the answer to every question that you're ever asked in Sunday school. But before we put a period on that answer, consider this. The true source of the God Story soundtrack goes deeper than just simply naming God. The source is found in God's heart, in His indescribable, undeniable, incomprehensible love for you and for me. The confirmation and the affirmation for that is found in God's Word, not in the Psalms, not in Genesis where the story begins, not even in the Gospels. It's confirmed in a small book that is so terribly hard to find called Zephaniah, one of the books of prophecy of the Old Testament. And here is what it says. Let everyone in Jerusalem and Judea celebrate and shout to the Lord with all your heart. The Lord has removed your judgment. He has turned away your enemies. Let the Lord, the King of Israel, be in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. On that day, it will be said to you, Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Don't let your hands fall. The Lord your God is in your midst, a great warrior bringing victory. He will create a calm among you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Did you hear that? God himself sings for me. God rejoices over me. Some translators have even used the word dances over you with joy. Can you imagine the omnipotent God, creator of the universe, singing and dancing for me?
Imagine how God can sing with a voice that lights the universe, with a range that blends eternally into clouds of His love. Imagine how God can dance with a gracefully up to our hearts to invite us to be into
Now there's an old Bette Midler song which says, God is watching us
God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. And I really don't want to argue with Miss Midler. After all, she is a noted theologian. But Scripture, a higher authority, disagrees. God does not watch us from a distance. God is among us. How often do we quote the Scripture, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I? How often do we pray at the beginning of a service, God be present, God be here with us? Well, He is here. That part of Scripture is true. But He's more than just merely here, more than just merely present. He's not sitting in the balcony, overlooking us and passively observing. He's not sitting next to Brian like a guest of honor, watching and accepting whatever we offer in worship. He is among us. That's what the Scripture says. He is among us, part of us. Can you build that image in your mental screen? The Creator of the universe, the Lord God of heaven, is among us. He's moving among us. And He's not just moving among us, watching, taking notes, taking names on who is doing what and who is not doing what. He is moving among us, singing and dancing out of uncontained joy for you and for me. The Lord God of heaven is singing for us. And as He's singing, He's looking for, He's longing for that person, that worshiper, that can respond by releasing their own song back to Him. How would our worship change? How would that 1 hour a week that we squeeze out of our very important and very busy schedules, how would our worship change? How would it transform? How would it explode if we found our way to uncontainable joy in the Lord? How do we get there? Well, sometimes we understand how we get there by how we don't get there. I want you to picture yourself at a symphony concert. You're sitting there, you're dressed up, because it is a symphony after all, and you're anticipating a good evening. You know the music is going to be excellent, because it is a symphony. You expect the music to draw you in. The players come on stage, and the excitement level goes up a little bit. They tune their instruments, and it goes up a little bit more. And then the conductor comes out, and there's a hush that falls over the crowd, because you know it's about to begin. And he raises his baton, and on his downbeat, the music begins. And it is beautiful. And it does draw you in. And then you notice, sitting over there in the symphony, it's someone who is just merely sitting there. Not only is he not playing, he doesn't even have an instrument. He's just sitting, totally disconnected from the beautiful music that's happening everywhere around him. Strange. But you pull your focus back to the larger picture and what's happening, and the music once again begins to draw you in. But you keep going back to this one disconnected player. And before you know it, your focus has been pulled from what's happening all around you, the music, the excellence. And you just can't take your focus off the disconnected one. And before long, you're no longer hearing the beautiful music. You're hearing the silence of the disconnected one. I wonder if anyone ever has that experience
when they come to worship at Kingswood United Methodist Church. How often does a seeker, one for whom God has begun the drawing in process, come into our midst, where God is among us, singing and dancing for us out of uncontainable joy, and their focus is pulled from that incredible picture to the one who's disconnected. The song of God originates in the very center of God's heart. He gave creation a voice so that they could advance the song and draw you and I in. We were given a voice to respond and draw in others who begin to hear the song. My father was a fisherman. He dearly loved to fish. His fishing days began early, long before daylight, and lasted until daylight was gone. More often than not, his fishing days were solitary days. He went alone. On the days that I went with him while I was growing up, he didn't seem to care whether we caught fish or not, and there wasn't a lot of conversation. He seemed content to sit in the boat. As an adult, my mom and I were talking one day about the curious quality of my dad's fishing trips, and I commented that, well, perhaps that was just his way of withdrawing from the noise, from the clatter and the noise of the world, and closing the door on it for a time, his way of escaping. My mom, who was so very wise, said, "Son, he doesn't go to escape hearing. He goes because of what he hopes and what he expects to hear." Perhaps Dad had discovered the invitation offered in the Psalms. All of God's creation given a voice. All of God's creation, all of that over which you and I were given dominion, sings so that you and I can be drawn into a life-changing song and find the release for our own uncontainable joy. This is my story. This is my song. Maybe what we all need is some quality time with our Father at the fishing hole.